was talking to you about the fact that Rahm Emanuel is in Israel. He gave a speech which really landed hard. Just a reminder, he is the former Chicago mayor. He's a longtime Democratic heavyweight. And really, it's absolutely fascinating because he is a possible 2028 presidential contender for the Democratic Party. And he said some things that few American politicians have actually said out loud. And it was this. He said that unconditional U.S. support for Israel should end. He blasted Netanyahu's leadership. He warned of strategic isolation and pushed what he called as a 23-state solution. So what does all this mean on the ground? What does it mean for Israel's security, for U.S.-Israel relationship? To help me understand what is going on and why the speech was so completely groundbreaking is Lieutenant Colonel Maurice Hirsch, who generally talks to us on the Israel Report, but today is going to talk to us on a standalone basis. Maurice Hirsch, as always, thank you for being with us on Chai FM.
Thanks for having me, Simon.
So, Maurice,
I've got a question for you before you dive into your questions.
Yes.
For whom was this speech so groundbreaking?
Pretty much.
Rahm Emanuel stand up and spew such delusional garbage is truly unbelievable. And to think that anyone actually buys into that, it's truly a reflection of, let's take someone who says something different and we're now going to make them into some type of panacea. Did he really mean to accuse Israel of withholding medicine from the Gazans? Did he really actually say that there are areas within the land of Israel where Jews are not allowed to live, buying into Nazi ideology that there is an area which should be Judenfrei? This is the great new vision, a 23 countries recognition. Who exactly is the Palestinian side? When are they going to abandon their desire to destroy Israel?
I hear you loud and clear.
The guy is delusional.
The guy is delusional, and yet the tectonic plates of politics seem to have shifted irreparably. I mean, let's look at what's going on in the United States of America. There's a Mamdani mayor sitting in the largest Jewish city in the world, whose support amongst Jews is higher than that of Netanyahu's. I mean, we've got to talk about that, Maurice. Something is happening, whether we like it or not. Something is happening that's shifting the tectonic plates, as I was saying.
Which part of that do we have to understand? That the Jews of New York voted, that are predominantly unconnected and unaffiliated with anything Israel related, apart from the religious community, which is a staunch supporter of Israel. When you look at the Israel Day Parade, how many people come out and support Israel on the Israel Day Parade? Mm-hmm. About 50, 60, 70,000, predominantly the religious Zionist communities. The rest of the New York Jewish community sees itself as more liberal, more woke than anything else. And the fact that they don't like Prime Minister Netanyahu, so I've got a wake-up call for them. Who's asking you? The country of Israel, the citizens of Israel, the people who actually live here and who send their children to defend the country and potentially die, have voted for Prime Minister Netanyahu time after time after time, while the New York Jews sat there and enjoyed their bagels and a smear of cream cheese in the comfort of America. Thank you very much. We've tried peace. We tried offering Ehud Barak, tried offering them a state. Ehud Olmert tried offering them a state. It didn't work because they're not interested in a state. They are interested in the destruction of Israel. And if the New York Jews don't understand that, that's their problem, not ours.
I hear you, and you're making so much sense, and yet I think that the train has left the station. I think I feel, as a South African Jew, somebody who lived through South Africa's isolation during the bad old days of apartheid, I just see those same forces aligned up against Israel now, and I'm not sure that I know what Israel can do about it. I mean, you can't go it alone. You just can't. So what's the solution?
So what's the solution? To allow the genocidal terrorists from Hamas to butcher more Jews, to allow Hezbollah in the north to really void any type of international commitment. Resolution 1701, which required the removal of Hezbollah from the south. Well, Rahm Emanuel was there. He had the opportunity with Barack Obama to make that happen. He chose the opposite. He chose to allow Hezbollah to reestablish themselves in the south. They had the opportunity to do something with Iran, and yet they chose an agreement which was an absolute disaster, which would have allowed Iran to achieve both nuclear capabilities and enlarge massively, even more than they've done, their ballistic missile capabilities, because of this belief that through diplomacy, you can persuade the Iranians to give up on their nuclear program. How delusional do you have to be to continue arguing that as a possibility?
Yeah, agree with you. But talk to me about the West Bank, because what is Israel going to do with 6 million Palestinians under its jurisdiction?
Well, so let's talk about that number, 6 million. What, 6 million? You're talking about maybe that you've got about 2 million in Gaza. So let's put them aside. That's not Judea and Samaria. Of the numbers that they throw out, I recently published an article where they basically admitted, albeit tacitly, that the number, the population registry that they and numbers that they talk about are just a lie. They published in advance of their municipal elections, they published a full registry of voters. If you look at the calculations of those registry of voters, you understand that even in Judea and Samaria, according to their figures, there's probably only about 2 million, and that's it. The rest in Jerusalem, you have another group of people, but they are double counted as Arabs in Israel, but also Palestinians for their intents and purposes. So in Judea and Samaria, you've got maybe 2 million, 2.1 million Palestinians and almost 700,000 Israelis. So what are we talking about? How do we allow this to continue? How do we find a workable solution? Well, the two-state delusion is not a solution, and the 23-state delusion is an even bigger delusion. Let's see Libya and all of these countries and Iraq and joining the call for Kumbaya in the Middle East, right?
Yes,
of course. And so now, can we continue on with the Palestinian Authority? Absolutely not. And Rahm Emanuel said it himself. Listen to the rhetoric of his stupidity. He agrees that there is no Palestinian partner. He agrees that they are rife with corruption. He agrees that they've been offered opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, and they've always said no. So where do you go with that rejectionism? Do you carry on this two-state delusion, which has proved itself disastrous for the Palestinians? More Palestinians have died as a result of the two-state delusion than ever before. And more Israelis have been murdered by Palestinian terrorism as a result of the two-state delusion than ever before. And if there is another hostile Arab state that sits on the Auschwitz borders of Judea and Samaria, literally yesterday, I published a report at the Jewson Center for Security and Foreign Affairs of the growth of the Palestinian terror army. They were meant to have, according to the Oslo Accords, a 12,000-strong civilian police force. They now have a 70,000-strong army. Put them on the border with what they say are the June 4th borders, which is the Judea and Samaria, the West Bank. There's 14 kilometers separates them and the sea. On October 7th, the terrorists from Hamas went, the greatest distance they traveled was 22 kilometers. So imagine that you now have a force 10 times the size, storming across central Israel, murdering tens of thousands of people, 22 kilometers, they're at the sea. This is what Rahm Emanuel is envisaging. This is the two-state delusion. So, that is something which more than anything else, more than political isolation, will be Israel's downfall. As Golda Meir famously said, I'd rather be hated and alive than walking to the gas chambers in Auschwitz. I'm paraphrasing her. But that's exactly what it is.
Maurice, what are you going to do about this isolation? I mean, you've lost the Democratic Party. It seems to me that that's absolutely clear, although Rum argues that you haven't lost it fully. It seems to me that you have. You've lost the fringes of the Republican Party, who are very angry with the Americans subsidizing the Israeli military. I mean, does this give you sleepless nights, Israel's geostrategic position in the world right now?
So I think some of these things are definitely a source for concern. I think that the shift in American society has almost nothing to do with Israel. That is American society going in a somewhat self-destructive way, where you have self-proclaimed patriots like Jackson Hinkle, who can stand in Iran and shout death to America, where you have the influence of Qatari Muslim Brotherhood money flooding the universities. These are movements that are unconnected to Israel, that I don't believe there is anything Israel can do to stem that tide. Unfortunately, what we've seen is an exaggeration of all of those different movements as a result of the October 7 massacre. Because now they see Israel as a country defending itself against the genocidal onslaught, whereas what they want to see is the Jews being killed. So how do you deal with that effectively is a question that going forward we will have to truly consider. The subject of the military aid is obviously something which and I believe Israel would do well to disconnect from the military aid. But that also comes with consequences. Most of the military aid that Israel receives from the United States is spent in the United States itself. It's really money that the American government is giving to the American economy. Cut off all of those ties, and maybe, God forbid, Israel would be free to go to the open market to look for weapons somewhere else. Are all these people taking that into account as well, that this connects Israel to the American market without excluding all alternatives? If you remember, just albeit it's now probably 15, maybe 20 years that Israel even was in discussions and negotiations to sell Falcon airplanes to the Chinese. And America objected. So we understand that there is a symbiosis between the two countries. We understand that there are common goals, but let's not forget that Israel is linked to America because of the aid, sometimes to our detriment.
Yeah.
And that would also be possibly opening up new alternatives.
Maurice, I'm out of time. I'm going to leave it there. Thank you for that very impassioned discussion this afternoon. Interesting times. Very, very interesting times.